Now the story of frontline sales reps scrapping to learn new skills and build their careers. It's Arrested Sales Development with Max and Ben.
Hello and welcome to another edition of Arrested Sales Development. This is Ben Tannenbaum.
This is Max Emmerman.
And today's topic, we're going to dive a little more in-depth into cold calling. On our last episode, we talked about those crucial first couple seconds of what do you do to get the prospect's attention and stop an immediate hang-up. In today's episode, we'll go a bit to the next step. And once you have that attention, once you've bought that time, how do you position the rest of the call to hopefully book a meeting for yourself? So I guess, Max, to start off just at a high level, what do you think are some of the important things that you have to do once you've bought those initial 2 seconds on a phone call?
Firstly, you'll have definitely a better experience with than I will just because I do a lot of inbound stuff, but demonstrating value. Even before we get into this, I wanted to give a little just like story, I guess. I've been recently looking up video prospecting softwares for a company and have, you know, had a lot of people because I've been looking into their companies. You know, prospect me, right? And trying to, you know, figure out who I am, like, trying to figure out like what if I'm buying for myself, if I'm a decision maker, all that. It's really interesting to see the other side of it, you know. Being someone who was, you know, young and took this job at entry level, like I'd never really had the opportunity to one, buy software, but two, be prospected.
Yeah.
And I never understood one, how unbelievably annoying this could be, but two, that when you do get it right, you get it right. So the example I'll give is that there were two companies, and without going into details, you know, company A, company B. Company A gave me an unbelievable like little sell on their email, and it basically said, "Hi, we noticed you've been speaking with Company B." Don't know how they figured that out, but it was pretty cool. It's really cool.
Right? Yeah.
But you know, noticed you've been speaking with Company B. Here's X, Y, Z things we do better. Right.
Well,
I wasn't even planning on talking to Company A.
Yeah.
Like, that was pretty amazing. I thought to be able to get in there. I don't know how they did that. Yeah. But besides the point, you know, they immediately demonstrated their value. Right. Mm-hmm. So they showed me, "Hi, why would you take a demo of this person? Why waste 30 minutes of your time? Come take one with us. We do these three things better." They can't argue against that.
And it's relevant because they start off saying, "I noticed you've been talking to Company A." Boom. That gets your attention because you have been.
Exactly. And to be fair, this could have gone the inverse way. But, you know, for me, how I read into the email was that, oh, the first company I prospected to wasn't totally, truthful with me, right? So I sort of thought to myself, oh, like, hey, they didn't say to me that they have the best XYZ, right? They just said they have XYZ. Now this new company is coming in and saying, we have the best. And it's like, that's awesome, because one, I'm going to hold them to that. But two, we want the best, right?
Yeah, for sure. And if there's any video prospecting SDRs listening to this podcast, we'll give you Max's phone number after this. So you can blow him up all day.
Exactly. So I guess, we got on a tangent, but...
No, that's really helpful to see, because I think you're right on point there in terms of it has to be relevant to the prospect. Mm-hmm. You have to show why what you're doing at least aligns with what they're doing.
Yeah.
So I think it's always important to be specific to the prospect, just like you're saying, with them saying something. And it's hard to find exactly what your prospect needs on a cold call, because you don't know. That's what the sales cycle is going to uncover. But whatever you have, just again, to get that attention and to show that you're on the ball and that you did your homework, mentioning that you're talking with a competitor, that you use a competitor. I think that stuff is just really worthwhile.
Yeah, and then, you know, also just like you said, doing your research, you know, go on LinkedIn, figure out what school they went to, figure out, you know, age range kind of stuff, right? You know, this guy was born in, or went to school in the 85, right? You know, good chances are he might respond if you say hi, you know, some Grateful Dead reference or whatever, right? You know, you can really do those little things to identify the prospect. Uh-huh. So you think, like, it sounds sort of stupid to say out loud, and when I hear myself say it, I feel like I'm saying something stupid, but, you know, honestly, those little things can make all the difference sometimes.
Right.
All more research, the better. That's all I can say to that.
It's one thing to do the research, and they can say, "Hey, I saw you went to Tulane, you like Grateful Dead, that's great." But they do have to get back to what, if you're going to just book the meeting, aside from just getting to that point about demonstrating value. Mm-hmm. So when you let's talk about that example that you just mentioned. Yeah. When they were hitting you up from that, when you were being prospected, mm-hmm. what did they do to demonstrate value?
Yeah, they, so, you know, obviously this is a video prospecting software, mm-hmm. right? So what they did immediately was so on their emails, they included all of these, like 45-second videos, mm-hmm. which just, by the way, I think is way too long, but besides yeah. the point, these little 45-second videos explaining who the SDR was. The next one was explaining who the salesperson was. And the one after was explaining, I think it was who the company was. It's like a whole. I mean, it was from the salesperson's mm-hmm. like voice. And to be fair, they demonstrated some value. They didn't do a great job with it, mm-hmm. but at least they gave me like, hi, this is what our product can do for you. This is generally what it costs. Because these, I think, video prospects more of a transactional okay. sale versus like sure. a nurtured sale. But, you know, this is what it is. This is what it costs. This is how we can help you. That kind of thing. And it was pretty short and to the point.
Okay.
Which I sort of respected as someone who yeah. like didn't want to keep getting all these emails. so it wasn't the worst thing in the world. However, they could have been a lot better if they'd actually tailored it to me as a person versus like my company. You know, I'm clearly, you know, I'm SDR. I was not the decision maker on this. Yeah. I'm a factor in the decision, but I'm not the person who makes the final decision. Mm-hmm. So if I were them, I think the first thing I would have asked me, which they never did ask me, is who is the decision maker? You know, that's
right.
really easy way to, one, they probably could have skipped me, but two, like, they wouldn't have wasted their own time, so to speak. You know, when they first got me on the phone, they asked me, like, what we currently pay for a prospecting software.
See,
I don't know.
Yeah, see, right. See, that's tricky, though. I feel like that's almost jumping the gun a little bit in the sense of, you don't necessarily need, if you're making the cold call, mm-hmm. it doesn't necessarily need to be the decision maker.
That's true.
I know some people say go high to go low. Some people say mm-hmm. go low to go high. I know if you don't think that this person's worth your time to talk to, don't call them, but make yeah. that decision beforehand. If you're prospecting into this person, if they're worth your time on the cold call, mm-hmm. then don't ask them if they're, or don't bant them on the cold call, because
yeah.
you don't have enough time to do that, really. Mm-hmm. You can't call them and then figure out, wait, never mind, you're not worth my time, right?
No,
if you're giving them a cold call, you have to want the meeting.
Yeah. I meant more as like a historical, like, so you could have it for your record kind of thing.
Right.
They knew my manager was the decision maker, they probably would have opted to ask right. him certain questions versus me, and they could have asked me different questions.
Yeah. yeah. I see what you're saying. Mm-hmm. In my mind, I feel like that's, you go down there, maybe in the discovery call or the next thing.
Yeah, that's fair.
But you're right. I agree that you don't want to be necessarily prospecting SDRs, right?
Yeah, of course.
Other SDRs.
Yeah, so let's move forward a little bit. Let's talk about you know, how to find the client's problem or prospect's mm-hmm. problem. Excuse yeah. me. You know, how do you figure out why they should use your service? Right.
Right.
I guess what's your, how do you start in that problem?
So that's a good question. That's really important. I think first of all, you have to really have a good understanding of your sort of ideal mm-hmm. client profile and what your company does, your value proposition, who should be buying your product, your target persona. I think you really have to have a good understanding of that and what is a quote unquote qualified lead for your company. I think then once you know that, looking at the specifics on like a specific account that you have, which is hopefully a good account that fits all the criteria that your company should work with. Once you do that, I think you have to look at what they're using in place of you. So for example, at our company, it's very easy. You would see our product on their website and you would see our competitor's product on their website. So I can go to a prospect's website and see that they're using our competitor X, and I can see what maybe isn't working or something that if they were using us, could potentially be doing better. So I get the prospect on the phone. Max, I see you're working with competitor B with our to manage this service. Our company can help you improve by X or mm-hmm. Y, Z. Let's set up some time to talk. How does next Thursday sound for you?
Yeah, for sure. So a few things I noticed you said there, right?
Mm-hmm.
One, everything about what you did was quick. which is important, right? You don't want to keep people on the phone for five minutes unless they want to talk, which is awesome. And they don't. But, you know, so you're quick, right? You're also concise. You got everything to the point. Within 30 seconds, you got everything out, and you added value, right? One, so we can help you do X, Y, Z to help your site or help whatever it is, right? Yeah. But then two, you had the next step, which is huge. Huge.
So let's talk about that next. To the getting the next step, like you said, I was trying to be concise there. You don't want... If you're an SDR, you get paid ultimately to book meetings. You're not trying to lock into having a 30-minute conversation with the prospect. It could be great.
It's great for your career, bro. If you're not making money.
Exactly. Your goal in a perfect world is 30 seconds. They say yes. We'll talk more next Thursday. So I guess how do you sort of position it if you've gotten a little bit of a bite, if they say this sounds interesting, how do you know when to, I guess, stop talking and ask for the meeting?
Yeah, it's a hard question. It really is. You know, just from my background, which is more surfacing inbound calls, I would say that I am generally speaking not so aggressive about it, and that's probably actually a weakness on my behalf. I probably should be more aggressive about it. So the way I go about it is, like, I'll be on the phone, you know, and I'll say, "Hi, Mr. Smith. You know, it's great talking. We talked last week. You know, would love to book you a meeting to talk about my sales reps. But if you're not ready for that, that's okay. I'm more than happy to wait a week. We can send more preliminary information." I'm very light touch about it. And that's definitely to my fault. I think more experienced sales reps are much more hard-bodied about it. When going about and saying, you know, "Hey, Mr. Smith, you know, I have a time for next Thursday at 1. How does that work for you?" Yeah. That's probably the better way to go about it.
I agree. I mean, it's different on the inbound. I think whatever you do on inbound probably works. But yeah, you're right. I like basically the language you use. "Ms. Smith, how does Thursday at 2 p.m. work for you?"
Yeah.
And I call it, I've seen other people call it assumptive language. Okay. So you don't, there's an important distinction between asking, "Would you be willing to talk to me next Thursday at 2 p.m.? And "Let's talk next Thursday at 2 p.m. Assuming that sounds good for them. You're still being respectful. You're still asking. You're not saying, "We will talk next Thursday at 2 p.m. obviously. But the assumptive language of, "Hey, this is works well. This makes sense for us to connect a little bit further. How does Thursday at 2 p.m. work?"
Yeah, and you know, if you've done your job to proper SDR to you know, nourish that relationship for whatever it is a few weeks now.
Yeah.
That assumptive relation, or assumptive, you know, speaking, right? That shouldn't be like seen from your prospect in a bad way at that point, right? They're familiar with you. They know who you are. They see your emails, your voicemails, whatever it is, right?
Yeah.
They should know, okay, this dude isn't going to stop until I either say yes or no, or at least give him some kind of answer, right? If he's assuming I can meet Thursday, whatever, I can meet Thursday.
Right.
That hopefully is what we want to happen.
Yeah, and you're not leading. You're not the prospect picks up the phone. "Let's talk next Thursday at 2 p.m. Right? You've already had the hook, like we talked about the last episode. You've already demonstrated a little bit of value. You've already found something that's relevant to them. You've already sort of gotten a bite, I guess, the bite on the line. And now this is just how you reel them in and finish it off.
Yeah, and then, you know, I guess just to move the conversation forward a little bit, right? The next steps kind of stuff. So this is great to set that meeting. Once you do set the meeting, it's not all over then.
Right.
Like, it is great that you set the meeting. You've done, you know, 90% of your job. Yeah. However, there's some little stuff to continue, right? Yeah. First thing that I definitely recommend doing, because we see this all the time in my company, is when people skip out on meetings, right? Oh, let's say we set a meeting with Jane Doe for 6 months down the road. There's no way Jane Doe is taking that meeting six months down the road. Unless we constantly remind Jane that she has a meeting in 6 months, right?
Yeah.
And by constant, I don't mean every day, I don't mean every week, but you know, in 3 months, we want to say, "Hey, we booked a meeting for 3 months. Is that still a good time? Do you move it forward, move it back, whatever?" Right?
Or even not an extreme example like that. Let's say today's Tuesday. This episode's dropping on Tuesday, but the meeting's booked for Friday. So it's not 6 months; it's just 3 days. It's still this week, but you still want to make sure she shows up. Do you? On a short notice like that, 3 days, how do you feel about confirmation email?
I think it's still a smart thing. Yeah. Just even if it's a little note. You know, just because we use like Salesforce CRM, but I'm assuming all CRMs do this, you know, just set a task for yourself in there.
Right.
It's so easy. You send them a little note, you know, they'll go, "Oh, thanks, I forgot." Or, "Oh, thanks, I'm on it." You know, it's whatever. It's no harm, no foul there.
I think it's also important to, in the confirmation email, once you book the meeting, you say, "Hey, great, Thursday or Friday at 1 p.m. works. I'll send over a confirmation email and talk to you then." In that confirmation email, you have the agenda of, "Hey, here's what we're going to talk about." We're going to have the greetings introductions. We're going to have A, B, C, anything else you'd like to discuss. And that It sounds formulaic, but it does a couple things. First, it shows that these people are on the ball. It's not a waste of any time. It's legit. And B, it helps them remember when they're pulling up their calendar. Oh, man, was I going to talk to Sales FX? What was this about again? Mm-hmm. No, it shows a couple clear bullet points that are hopefully relevant to what you were able to discuss with them.
Yeah. I call my notes in that. So I have two sets of notes I have mm-hmm. for prospecting. I have Max's notes, which is like my own personal stuff that helps me talk and help me make like further touches, right? And I have smart notes, two different things. This is going to sound crazy until I hear it out. So I keep my own notes because I like to keep my prospects engaged, right? So for the outbound work I do, most people, it's not purely outbound. They know who I am. They know I'm contacting them. They just don't want to answer me. So I keep my own notes, right? He answered the phone call at 2:52. This is a good time to call him. Call him back this time because he's meeting at 3. He's getting prepped, right? Whatever. Those are my little notes. Salesperson doesn't even know that if they ever get to that point, right? However, the smart notes I take are the little things that people say to me on the phone. And I don't know if every SDR, maybe it's just me who's had this experience, but for some reason that when I call people on the phone, I've noticed they're very willing to say things that they wouldn't have otherwise said over email. For example, who was the company? Oh, I'm blanking out what company it was, but a large Fortune 500 company came through our inbound line actually through a agency, sorry. But anyways, the agency wouldn't tell us their name. All right. So I asked three times, who's your client? I can't really give you any information. It's tailored to you and until you give me your client or the industry or whatever, right? Sure. They don't tell me. At the end, she goes, oh, by the way, the client is XY or whoever it was, right? And I couldn't believe it. I was like, are you serious? Like, you just went through 10 minutes telling me NDA. Like, those little things, right? She never would have typed that out or email. Oh. By the way, your client is this.
Right.
So I don't know. I like to keep my little smart notes tab just for the times like that, right? I'm getting nowhere with a client or prospect and they get off the phone and I go, oh my gosh, wait, I just totally missed that. The rep needs to know that. Because those are the things that down the line will help, one, expedite the process, but two, just make everyone's time easier.
Right. And I think that's a good maybe note to wrap up this episode on.
Yeah.
Just like how important the call is. And yes, it's kind of scary. And yes, you can probably crank out a lot of activity on email and you can probably book a fair number of meetings on email. But at the end of the day, making cold calls is still going to be a key factor to your success as an SDR.